Happy Party Friday, everybody. Chuck Bonimo, Julie Hayden here on the Chuck and Julie Show. True Straight Up. Got a great program for you. And, of course, we're always brought by who, Julie?
ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, one of the sites I check every day. They got a great story up about Appliance Factory, the city of Denver barring the doors, talking about that, talking about RTD, just a lot of good information there.
Also, a great article in the Supreme Court decision keeping the legislature open.
Which leads
talking
us-
about that.
Leads us right into the Minority Report, our weekly Minority Report with State Minority Leader Patrick Neville. Hey, Patrick, happy Friday. Thank you for your time.
It's, kind of depressing. It's, who knows? We might be in session up in, you know, around July timeframe, given the court ruling. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is part of my favorite. We're going to have two parts of this program, maybe favorite parts, where it's the so-called Chuck is Right part, which is almost always happening. But last week at this time, I predicted the Supreme Court was closely split because I said they would have issued the ruling before that.
Well, but maybe back up. What we're talking about is the legislature had to stop, right? And by law, they can only go 120 days. So the big question,
consecutive days.
Would it have to be consecutive?
No. The question was, does calendar days mean consecutive calendar days?
Right.
And I predicted they were not giving out the ruling because they're a split, and that the majority who are Democrats will always, they're all Democrats, but the majority was trying to get the recalcitrant dissents saying, hey, well, if he said this, would you go along with it? Would you go along with this? But it ended up being a 4-3 vote. It is not based on law. There is no such thing as law. Law is what judges call them. So here it was clear that calendar days mean calendar days. Seymour, the judge for the opinion for the left, said, well, that's ambiguous. What does calendar days mean? I don't know.
Gregorian calendar?
Yeah, well, we'll leave it to the reasonable interpretation of the legislature, which happens to be Democratic. So, yeah, that's it. And a really well-written dissent, they went, this is ridiculous. We all know what calendar days mean. This has been hundreds of times. There's never been anything else. The idea is ambiguous, and then we can go the other way. But you have to understand, if you're a judge and you're a Democrat, you don't believe in the constructs. You don't believe in reasonable interpretation. You believe whatever is justice, in their mind, justice to do it. And so as predicted here a week ago, it was 4-3. I'm glad the three didn't fold. I'm glad they at least pointed out how lawless this opinion is, but it's always going to be the same.
That's it. So, Patrick, what does that mean then? When do you guys go back? How do you go back?
Can you stay in all year, a couple years? I mean, do you ever have to leave?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest timeline, basically, this pushes it out. I don't see us going back anytime, you know, in the short order, unless there's something that comes up real quick that we have to take care of, and then we'd be back out. But I think, you know, for us, we have to get the budget done by June 30th. So that's a major deadline. So I do think we'll be back well before then to make sure we get the budget done, because that's going to be complex.
Right.
That's going to be really complex. We're looking at about at least a $2 billion shortfall on what we were expecting, you know, a couple months ago. So that's a huge hit. There's a lot of debate right now on whether or not we can use the federal stimulus money to backfill some of that. I say no. I don't think we can, the way the federal law is written, but I don't think it's a good idea either.
I don't think we should be using that
money to actually support businesses that we mandate to shut down.
Just call me crazy, Patrick, but I think you're right. As a citizen, it would seem to me that the federal stimulus money should go to citizens, not to the state government. None of whom have been furloughed anyway. To backfill para, maybe. I guess it could use the help.
Well, they mean for their own little spending in bills.
But, you know, one of the things, Patrick, that there's a big push for, I know the Colorado Freedom Force guys are pushing for this, is a petition to say, look, that's given all of this, that's just limited to the big issues, like you say, like the budget, like the school finance, the things you absolutely have to do, rather than, that's considered now that no one's paying attention, you know, a heroin injection site and, you know, getting rid of single-use bags, like grocery store plastic bags. How do you feel about all of that?
Right. I think that's the main point that I've been saying, that we need to, the ball is really in the court of the Democrat majority now on how they handle this. Are they going to get run over by their real liberal socialist wing of their caucus and just go back as business as usual and start doing every little bill Or will they actually be a little more judicious about it and actually look at things through a different lens? I mean, I keep pointing out that we started off this session not that long ago in early January, and Polis in his State of the State speech just bashed hospitals and bashed them left and right and bashed their profit margins. And quite frankly, looking back now, I'm glad that some of the hospitals were profitable last year, because this year they're probably not going to be. And this year they're facing a whole different set of crises. And if they hadn't had some bit of profits in the bank from last year, they wouldn't be able to react the way they're reacting now.
Right.
We've got to look at everything from a completely different lens and not just go back to business as usual.
Well, yeah. You've indicated that you hope the liberal socialist wing of the party doesn't take control. I didn't know there was another wing. Yeah. Where's the other wing been hiding? I mean, who are part of that wing that we've missed out?
That's Kevin Priolo.
That's Kevin Priolo. That's right. Oh, that's right.
No, I didn't say that. Sorry.
I think there are some that are at least election savvy, and they know that if they go back to business as usual, they're going to pay for it big time in November. Even though they might be true believers themselves, they're at least pragmatic on that fact that they don't want to lose elections.
Let me ask,
and I think that's what would happen if we went back and we just started doing every, you know, dogs on patio bill or whatever it is throughout. After we return back after this, I think the voters would widely reject that.
I think the voters
don't get to vote in Colorado. It's who collects. And Stalin said it doesn't matter who votes, it's who counts the votes. Here in Colorado, it doesn't matter who votes, it's who collects the votes. And they will collect the votes from the old age homes and everything else. They do, it's not how the voters want, it's how the collectors want.
Let me ask you, that sort of spurs Patrick. In Colorado, you know, Nancy Pelosi is now pushing in some of the very progressive Democrats on the national level are saying, see, we need all mail ballots.
Yeah, and no limitations on the ballot.
What would you tell Republicans in other states to pay attention to if you could?
Yeah, I mean, so that's a concern. An even bigger concern I have is even coming out of some from, you know, the Republican Party that are saying, oh, well, maybe the mail ballot's not the best way to do it. Maybe we should go to a digital version or an online version.
Oh, yeah.
And quite frankly, that scares me way more than even the mail ballot.
Like Kevin Priolo's idea.
You've got a hard copy that you can actually compare and do an audit on. If you're doing these things kind of like we've seen a lot of the assemblies done as well, through digital apps, if you can't compare the back end data to the actual vote unless you get rid of ballot secrecy.
Let me ask one
question. If we go back to the Supreme Court decision
on the legislative session,
6 months ago, 9 months ago, maybe it's a year, time flies. But Allison Ead, who was on the Colorado Supreme Court and a Republican, they decided to put her on the 10th Circuit. And all of us were tearing our hair out, just kind of going, you can't do that. Don't you care about the state of Colorado? Don't you know that her vote is absolutely critical for all these close decisions? And in the Colorado Supreme Court, Allison Ead was replaced by Melissa Hart, which was appointed by the government, who went for the Democrat, they're all Democrats, but went for the majority side. Absent that, if Allison Ead had not been appointed to the 10th Circuit. She probably would have been the vote for the other ways. Were you consulted on who they ought to put on the 10th Circuit? Was anybody in Colorado? Did they bother? Did they care?
Well, actually, it was a discussion we had. We did kind of mention those concerns, too. I mean, it's a tough one, right? When you've got one of your best and then all of a sudden the federal government steals it. I know how that works. I mean, they stole Clarice Navarro and Dan Nordberg and Susan Beckman from me, too. So I hate losing them in the legislature, but when they actually go back to at least work for bigger and better causes, I'm not one to stand.
Being on a minority, there are lots of, you could get Dennis Graham. I can think of a dozen great judges they could have appointed without destroying whatever hope we had in Colorado. There are lots of great Republican lawyers in Colorado. Every bit as bright, in fact, brighter than Allison Ead. But they didn't do it. And I just sometimes wonder why somebody doesn't go, no, you can't destroy our Supreme Court and our only hopes just because you want one of 100, 200, 300 Republicans on their side. But maybe I'm just pitching.
Patrick's
fault. Well, he's the only one we have. So what can I do?
let me toss something out. So Polis, like yesterday, announced, or maybe it was today. Well, all the school districts. So Polis announced closing things to the 30th. The school districts are all closing down for the rest of the year. And then also today, Polis talked about, this is the other part of Chuck was right. Chuck's been saying for a month now, we need to wear masks. Every time they tell us not to wear masks because they don't work and they're not necessary, they're lying. Well, now Polis is like, okay, everybody has to wear masks in
Colorado. No, now they're saying just wear a handkerchief, which really doesn't work well. If you sneeze into it, it stops it, but, you know, it gets underneath everything else. So they've been lying to us for months.
The
White House people, you know, the ridiculous Fauci, the even worse Burks.
Weiser shuts down Hobby Lobby too, so we can't even sell around that.
Yeah, there you go. Good point.
Nor can you wash them with your washer and dryer. Polis goes, well, just throw them in your washer. Polis, once again, lives in this world. I don't think he gets that not everybody lives in his world, right? So you can't even get your washer and dryer at Appliance Factory because they bolted the door shut there. I mean, what do you, just in general.
Oh, yeah, and everyone, you know, Kyle Clark bashed me for both of those. It was like, absolutely, Hobby Lobby is essential. And even more essential than Hobby Lobby, for certain, is a place like Appliance Factory or Warehouse. I mean, look, I've been personally out of a fridge since before this started because my fridge broke down and it was under warranty. But when we actually tried to get someone out to service it, because all the non-essential stuff was shut down, it was delayed for over a month. So
nice.
The delay took that long. And if I had not gotten a repair person out here yesterday who actually stayed at my house till almost 8 o'clock at night to fix it, I probably would have driven right to Appliance Factory Warehouse with my truck and bought one immediately. Because when you're in a situation like this, I mean, we have a little garage refrigerator that helped us get it through, but I got a family of five. And, I mean, you got a key appliance. Your stove goes out or something. You can't cook for your family.
I know.
All of a sudden, that becomes really essential.
This is just my read on Polis. And I know you guys are working and you've got a lot of crisis there. So I'm not asking you to bash him. I know you probably can't. But to me, it's like he just doesn't seem to live in the world that a lot of people live in. But what do you make of this whole mask? I mean, and again, in the school closing.
Well, let me ask you something.
Let
me ask you this one. If all these stores who do clothes, do everything else, must be closed, but Target can stay open. We got a great Target up here, you know, and you buy a lot of stuff. But all their competitors must be closed because they are non-essential. Well, Target is quote-unquote essential.
But they have food.
But Vermont said that you can sell the food, but you can't sell the rest. So, you know, I mean, why do these huge superstores get massive monopolies over little stores who have to be closed? And then we have this pudgematic governor say, appliances,
appliances?
I've never bought an appliance.
Well, I mean, that's what made me mad, too, about the Hobby Lobby closure, too, because people may not view them as essential as a Walmart. And they say, most of the stuff that, you know, you might need for school supplies or, you know, like my daughter did this big painting for one of her projects and presented it on Zoom. You can't even really get that kind of supplies at Walmart anyway, but say you could.
That's right.
If that's all I needed to get for my daughter, for her to complete her school project, I would much rather go to a place like Hobby Lobby that's probably not nearly as busy as a place like Walmart right now.
Right.
And actually be able to socially distance myself. But if you cram everyone into the big box stores and that's all that's open, you're just cramming everyone into a central location and actually hurting the social distancing efforts.
Well, and here's where it's unfair, it seems to me, because Lowe's and Home Depot, which also sell appliances, they're open, right? And so it creates this unfairness. And let me ask you about...
Well, let's listen to him. It's Patrick Neville.
And in a place like, I want to point this out too, a place like Lowe's and Home Depot, typically if you go there and buy an appliance, you can actually look at it in person. I mean, I kind of got annoyed people saying, you can just buy online. I'm sorry, most families are going to make a $1,000 purchase actually want to go and look in physically,
see what a
product looks like. But even if you did buy it at Home Depot and Lowe's, they don't have most of that stuff in stock, so you're still waiting a couple days. There's a place like Appliance Factory Warehouse, you actually look at the physical, you know, appliance that you're going to buy right then and there. And a lot of times they have little dings or they got refurbished and they tell you about that, but you can see if the ding was big enough and take that one with you right then, that same day.
Right. No, that's where we get our dryer. This is terrible, but I mean, when I spend my money, appliances are not where I have my emphasis, right? And so if it's got a ding, I mean, all of our appliances come from Appliance Factory Warehouse. We're not getting paid by them, but I can take a ding on my dryer, right? But let me back up and kind of talk about something, because I just want to get your thoughts, because hopefully sooner rather than later, we're going to be starting to small step our way back into things opening.
No,
let me just ask a question.
No, we're not.
I think that, Patrick, it is beginning to become almost time, if not already time, I guess I should say, to start saying, rather than everything is closed except for, like we've been talking about, these somewhat arbitrary decisions about certain stores, why? What do you think about turning it around and having it be the situation? Okay, so here's some guidelines that a store has to do, like social distancing, keeping things clean, blah, blah, blah. And if a business can show that it can do that, then let's go ahead and let them be open and only close businesses that can't do that. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that makes a whole heck of a lot more sense, because then they can actually still accomplish the same goal. It's kind of what we called in the military the intent of the order. If you actually understood the intent of the order, you could go outside of the specifics of the order to still accomplish the intent. The intent is social distancing. Let's let them do that. Another thing I think we need to do is actually get some guidelines from the governor and everyone putting in these shutdown orders or stay-in-place orders on what kind of statistics, what kind of numbers do they need to see before they start lifting them open. Rather than just having this open-ended questioning, just we don't know when, where, at least give us what do you need to see as far as new case numbers or maybe hospital open hospital beds available till you start lifting some of this. Right now, we don't have any of that, so I think a lot of people are nervous, and rightfully so. If they were actually to come out and say, if we get to this point where the new number of cases is decreasing by this amount and this amount of hospital beds is open, then we'll start to release some of these stay-in-place orders, I think people feel a lot more comfortable.
I think so, too.
Dr. Fauci brilliantly said, you know, he believes we ought to be able to open up once there's not a single death and not a single new case. And you go, that means we're never opening up, because there are going to be deaths. They always are, from flu and influenza. All, you know, maybe one or two in July, three in August. So they're the guy who's advising President Trump, who really has no idea what he's talking about. I mean, he really has no idea. He wants to have a stay-at-home order given across the entire United States.
This is Fauci. Yeah,
Fauci. Entire United States. And he doesn't want it ever lifted until there's not a single case or a single death, which means that America will never open up. But he, you know, he's a 79-year-old idiot. So he does, and that's our, listen to the scientists. The last thing you want to do is listen to some numb-brain scientist. I mean, it's just amazing. And we ought to rename this the New York metropolitan area
of the United States.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There's 709 people who died today so far, purportedly from the coronavirus. 500 plus of those are either New York or New Jersey. 200 for the rest of the United States, South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, even Colorado. We are closing everything down because of a death total that's really limited around New York and New Jersey. And they say, well, you know, it's not New Yorkers' fault. And you kind of go, no, it's a fact you pack everybody on top of each other. No one in New York.
Right. And I think that's the biggest point, back to not going back to business as usual. It seems like for the past decade, at least here in Colorado, the Democrats have pushed all these policies that tried to make everyone live in basically high density housing, pushing things like transit. Now we're seeing that this crisis is hitting those areas the hardest. Maybe we need to relook at those policies and say, okay, let's stop doing this war on the suburbs and the war on rural Colorado, and actually maybe support some more people and open some more roadways so people can be in the suburbs so they're not living on top of each other in case another future pandemic happens.
Right. Well, what do you see? I mean, kind of going forward, you know, the governor, I think earlier today, also asked state departments to like cut their budgets by millions and millions of dollars, which, frankly, sometimes I think this might be good. Right. I mean,
they will not cut one employee.
Well, no,
they will not cut one salary. They will not cut one piece of a bureaucratic waste or otherwise. I mean, you know, we own a newspaper, so I've had to make a lot of cuts. Some of them are very painful, but in making those cuts, I've seen some weaknesses where we could improve. And it's amazing how, you know, exergy makes you better. But government doesn't get better. It never lays an employee, and it never cuts their salary. The bonuses will be paid. Everything will be paid. Will be cut out, whatever service you might get there from the paratechnics.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens, because they already raided the hospital provider fee.
So they can't attack that.
And if the federal government... So, I mean, they can't, you know, that's what they've used in the past to kind of backfill their budget shortfalls. We can't do that because they enterprised it so that we could get out of from under Tabor. And then we're looking at over a $2 billion shortfall. I mean, this is, is pretty unprecedented. So at some point, they're going to have to cut something. So it'll be interesting to see. And that's why I just hope that whatever happens, that we don't use that full $2.2 billion stimulus to just simply backfill the state when our citizens actually are hurting.
There's so many people
that have been totally put out of business, mandatorily, literally put out of business. I mean, look at people like Hobby Lobby and Appliance Factory Warehouse, where the AG's literally going after them.
Or the thousands of small businesses they could care less about.
Those kind of people should be getting the stimulus.
We
applied, and Denver said, if you've been affected by the thing, apply. So we applied.
Here's the thing. So, folks, it is somewhat of a joke, at least in Denver, right? So they had a news conference, and they said, so hopefully, Patrick, if you have any influence, make the state process better. Oh. If you can't, well, I know. But so it says, first come, first serve, very simple, very simple. So we filled it out. We were delighted to see it was indeed. It took about 10 minutes, right? Then you got another email that said, okay, now here's the
real deal. Do you live in an enterprise zone? Are you a minority-owned business? Are you transitioning to another gender? Are you, the idea that all these
simple.
Will go to, are you a friend of Michael Hancock and have contributed to his campaign? I mean, we kind of got to part two, because part one said you technically appear to apply.
You've applied.
You've applied. Now we'll do the identity politics, in which you won't be able to get a penny for sure.
So
it's just a crock.
Right, and a certain portion of that 2.2 will go to the counties, but not a large part. They can only spend so much of that money. So you're talking about those. There's also SBA loans that are out there as well. There's so much stuff out there. My goodness, I mean, what a crazy world we're in. I mean,
maybe that just opens business.
There was a $700 billion bailout, in 2008?
Right.
And now it's just a $2 trillion bailout.
Well, what do you think about this infrastructure one that the Democrats want and Trump seems to want?
I haven't been able to look into it.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's got all mail ballot voting. It's got every pork thing in the world. If that one passes, none of it will go to infrastructure, or a little bit of both. But they will guarantee elections for Democrats. So it's a disaster.
So don't
support.
Well, and the problem we truly have too is, whatever we're doing, let's be honest, it's our kids paying it off. I mean, I'm a younger guy. I'm 36, but I'm not going to be paying this $2 trillion off. It's going to be a debt that's passed on to my children, and I have a problem with that.
We've got Barney on line one. That's line two, rather. That's because every time I say, okay, Barney's like, no, I want to talk to Patrick. So we got Barney here with Patrick Neville. Hey, Barney, thanks for calling in.
Hello, Chuck. Hello, Julie. Hello, Patrick.
Hey there.
I know he probably doesn't like it when I call, because I'm kind of full of crap.
He loves it.
So, Patrick, I'm not knocking you. I hate bureaucrats, but I understand that you're a legislator. Well, wait a minute. Is the Denver Players Club open? Because we know the bathhouses are open. So if the Denver Player Club is open for Mayor Hancock, I'm pretty sure we're good. But this Hobby Lobby thing pisses me off, and I don't even like Bible thumpers, but it really irks me. But how is it that Victor David Hansen yesterday on Fox says that California, for every million people, three people die of the coronavirus, and we're shutting this economy down? I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to sound like a whatever. I started hauling fuel in 87. I have never seen gas haulers not running. Doesn't matter how nasty, how bad it gets. This is taking a crap that we're not coming back from. And I'm not – look at I'm not saying this from my – we haul truck stops, so I'm good. But I can tell you right now, this I've never seen anything like this, and I'm not being sarcastic. You talk to any trucking company, the fuel always rolls, and it's not rolling now. We are in for one hell of a S-storm, and I don't know how we're going to come out of it. But I would just say to you, though, is it's really getting hard to take this serious with three out of a million die in California. It's just – the numbers are not adding up for us peasants out here. That's all I'm saying, but it's not a knock on you, buddy. By the way, Count Tigger, I love him. Chuck,
okay.
Julie.
All right. Thanks, Barney. Well, Patrick, yeah, let me, to kind of follow up on what Barney said. I did a little bit of research, right? In 2018 in Colorado, which is considered a typical year, 38,451 people died in the whole year. That's an average of 3,204 people per month. So far in Colorado, we've had 100. Well, I think Polis today said 105. I mean, what's your sense on the numbers, and how is somebody in a state leadership position? I mean, how are you working or trying to make sense of it and figure out what do we do?
Well, it's tough, too, because we don't even have the testing down. We don't know if people have already had this in the past and they've come through with it. I mean, one of the things I would like to see is see that antibody testing approved in a larger format statewide, so that if someone has shown that they've already had this and come through it, they're probably most likely going to be immune from it, getting it again, at least this certain strain, or they're going to have some sort of immunity in there. So let's let those folks actually get back out there and work as well. So, I mean, there's lots of different things we need to look at, too. Just I think what you said earlier, too, is an important thing, that we should be giving intent to the businesses on how they can actually social distance, yeah, too, instead of just, yeah, these blanket orders of shutting them down. I mean, it gets really, when you shut down and you start picking who's essential and who's not essential, eventually all those businesses depend on each other at some point or another.
Yes. Yes.
So eventually when you shut down and what you consider a non-essential business today, well, 5 days from now, they might be providing something to a business that's essential, and right, now everyone's hurting. So it's a dangerous road to go down when the government starts picking who's essential and who isn't.
Well, and we go back to Hobby Lobby, right? So Polis and the Attorney General are beating up on Hobby Lobby, which is, I think, the one you can't get fabric at Target, right? I mean, so Hobby Lobby is, we're all supposed to be wearing masks now, right? And they're giving us, they had some, I got to say, it was a lame PSA from some guy who I didn't even know who he was. Maybe I'm the only person in Colorado who didn't know who he was, but they kept calling him the coolest guy in Colorado.
Oh, great.
And I'm like, we're not, you know, freaking kindergartners, okay? You don't have to say, oh, we're going to make it fun to wear masks. It's like, no, wearing a mask is not fun. I guess it kind of limits wrinkles a little bit. But other than that, Hobby Lobby wasn't essential yesterday, according to Polis, but today, actually, it could have been darn helpful.
Right. I mean, actually, looking online, once I heard the order, and I just quick Googled, you know, DIY mask, and the first was a video that popped up from Hobby Lobby.
There you go.
I'm like, it was a video Hobby Lobby made, and I'm like, well, I can't go get the supplies from them, so this video does me no good.
Hey, listen.
Patrick, you've been great. Always love getting you on and on Fridays, because you really are fresh air.
And what I always like to ask, because, you know, we ask you all the questions, what can we do for you guys up there?
Keep getting the word out, and then, you know, keep a watchful eye when we actually do go back in session. I think we need to really hold them accountable and make sure that like I said, that they're not doing business as usual, and they're actually just addressing those major needs, because I think we need to scream and throw a fit and, get the word out to the public if they come back and start doing their little pet projects that they had lined up before.
Yep. You're absolutely right. Patrick, thank you, Patrick. We appreciate it.
I'm glad you got your refrigerator working, too. I bet your wife is really glad. So thank you.
Yes. Which makes my life better, too.
There you go. All right. Patrick Nibble there, minority leader. You know, and you can read a lot of what he does. We talk about Colorado Citizen Press at ColoradoCitizenPress.com. They follow that.
Stories. Read the one on the Supreme Court. Read the one on Kyle Clark. That's hilarious.
It is kind of, okay.
Really good.
We're hoping to get Michael Tao on talking about the numbers. You guys, if you've listened to our show, you've heard it before. He's an investigative columnist, has sort of the lowdown on the whole Russia investigation / hoax. He's been kind of drilling down on some of the numbers. In the meantime, too, 888-627-6008 is the number to call. We'd love to have your phone. 888-627-6008. Okay, we're waiting for Michael to join us. I know he has a lot of stuff going on, and sometimes he has computer issues. But so give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. But let me go over these numbers again, because I think there are more people, I think, talking about this, Chuck. Mark Levin had a column up or a thing posted on Fox, right? The Gateway Pundit, I think, is doing a great job. But here's the numbers in Colorado. So, again, just to put this in perspective, in an average year, this year is 2018 in Colorado, 38,451 people died. Ironically, 62,000 were born, but 38,451 people died in Colorado in 2018. The vast majority of that were people 75 and over. But when you do the math, that comes down to 3,204 people per month. Here is my question. Since we know in the coronavirus situation, the coronavirus 19, the vast majority of people who die are in their 70s and 80s with an underlying serious pre-existing health condition. Right. So I would be curious to see, and it's not easy to get these numbers, but okay, so now if we know that an average in Colorado, 3,200 people a month die, right? I would be curious, since we know that 105 people have died so far in Colorado in this month since we've been tracking this. I'm just curious, is that like hundreds more than would normally die? Is that 105 pretty much wrapped into the 3,200? And if so, because my guess is going to be, Chuck, and my prediction is that it is. My guess is going to be that we're not going to have hundreds of additional deaths in Colorado. My prediction is it's going to be roughly the same, maybe up a little bit, but you know.
Well, how many people have died of regular influenza?
Well, that's what I'm
year?
Trying to say. An average, more than 3,200 people a month die in Colorado from all causes, right? I mean, everything from natural death to cancer to traffic accidents. If we, every day in this country, had the media breathlessly reporting every death that occurred, you know, I mean, we'd shut down the world entirely, but we don't. It's just this. One other thing I think that's worth noting, you know, that little scary looking virus graphic that you see in every story? That's not real either. That's not what the coronavirus looks like. A person whose job it was to make the graphic for all the media people to use, and some medical lab person made that up. I mean, it has nothing to do with reality. Zippo, well, maybe, and in that it has little things sticking out in it, but it looks scary. I mean, they could have made something with a smiley face or something like that, right? But you see that all over.
Here to kill you.
That's not real either.
And well, but the press has been breathlessly so happy. We have 10 million unemployed. God, that's great news. The deaths, you know, they just can't be happier. The deaths, the fact that these hospital ships are not filled, they're just so thrilled. I mean, it's a morbid thing, you know, when they talked about the mainstream corporate press being the enemy of the people. It's really come
They're
out.
They're fueling it. And here's where...
Well, they are the enemy of the people. They enjoy our misery. They enjoy our death.
Well, they're working still.
Yeah,
you know, they're kind of, I got news for them, though. You know, some of this, I saw the Denver Post had like 6 ads yesterday. One of them, a full page ad from Appliance Factory.
And then
right?
That little thing saying, you know, great job, General Post, but you need to give us money because, you know, why don't you tell them to open up the state, you moron?
Here's some other, the Gateway Pundit had some interesting numbers too, talking about the modeling, because I don't know, 888-627-6008. I am really beginning to wonder if these guys have any clue, the scientists, what they're doing, or if it is like the global warming.
Well, we know they don't know what they're doing because Fauci has said, you know, we can't open up until there's not one single case, new case, or not one single death, which means America never opens up. And he apparently does not realize that, you know, fact.
Well,
how could you give that answer?
Here was another thing. So according to them, the CDC, they were looking at their models. The model, and this is as of Wednesday, the model was that 121,000 Americans would be hospitalized by Wednesday, right? That's what the model said. The actual number is 31,000.
Did the model?
Robert Gates? Yeah. Who, by the way, Dr. Birx worked for. She's on the Gates Foundation, just coincidence there.
Is it Robert Gates?
No, whatever his name is, Gates, the rich guy.
Gates guy.
Okay, but let me, my number, so another.
Bill Gates.
The model was saying that 121,000 people, Americans, would be hospitalized by Wednesday. The actual number of people hospitalized was 31,000. In New York, the same model said that 51,000 were going to be hospitalized. The actual number, 18,000. And in New York, 99% of the fatalities had pre-existing conditions. So, you know, these models. Now, here's the thing. They're going to try to say, well, if it hadn't been for all the restrictions that we put in, everybody would have been hospitalized. Maybe. But I go back to the fact that I believe that it is time that rather than just this blanket assertion that everyone needs to be closed, that's used since the president has said, okay, we're going to stay kind of shut down till April 30th. Let's use the next couple of weeks to develop some real common sense guidelines in terms of what businesses need to do to open up. And then go ahead and allow the businesses, if they can show, hey, look, we're doing this, to go ahead and open up. Now, there might be some businesses that just can't. Okay, I get that. But I think this, we're trying to prevent the thought is, and even flattening the curve assumes that sooner or later we're all going to get it anyway, right? That's the whole, we're just trying to slow it down. But the notion that we have to lock down the economy cause irreparable, and I think in some cases irreversible harm, to make to do what? We're not even sure it's accomplishing anything.
Accomplished something. I mean, right. You know, that should have been should have been done a week ago. And you know, little me said that it. And now 3M says it's
well, selling its mask to China. That's pretty funny.
China and for humanitarian purposes,
right?
As if they're, you know, the United States is not part of humanity in 3M's opinion. The CEO of 3M. I mean, just the companies in the United States at times seem to be amazing.
Here, I'm going to email Michael Tao, so keep talking.
Okay,
for a
I'll keep on talking. but they ought to get these masks out, because honestly, wearing a handkerchief does not do you as much good, anywhere near as much good.
But that's all I have, though.
So. Well, then get us more. You know, don't tell us you can't do it. Do it. You waited a week. You know, I mean, it's at least now they recognize the problem. Now, you know, they companies can fill enormous, you know, if they can make money. I mean, we'll make them down here. You know, just give us the materials.
We don't have. Well, you know, again, they're talking about. You know,
I can't touch my.
If you don't have a sewing machine, I would say I don't know anyone.
You don't know. So.
I don't have a sewing machine. Well, I don't think my daughter and her friends have sewing machines. So
yes, they do.
Do they? Okay, mm-hmm. It's just me that doesn't.
Right. You've had to be a working person.
That's right. I use safety pins. So
you don't have any of those either, as I found out.
I think probably that, but you know, you were saying that before too. And so again, if you start looking at the things, and let's talk about Trump a little bit, because I am beginning to be concerned. I believe that he was between a rock and a hard place, right? I mean, he was being forced by all of us. I think he had to do what he did. But I hope he is beginning to say, wait a minute, Fauci, didn't you tell me earlier it was going to be a million people? Didn't you tell me earlier this? Didn't you tell me earlier to go out there and say, no, don't wear masks.
I
they don't do
anything.
He's
done everything he can do at this point. And now coming in the future, I don't know. But, you know, he had no choice in my mind. Anyway,
I agree.
That if he'd said April 12th, we're opening back up, you know, it wouldn't have worked. But I'm still working for that graph, you know, every day. There's no other news than coronavirus. That's it. There's coronavirus and there's coronavirus, or some version of it. And I have the morbid task of checking the death rates and seeing, is it going to start to, and it hasn't yet. They're still kind of trending up, largely because of New York. I mean, New York's incredible.
Yeah, New York seems to be. Well, and again, and then they keep other, the mainstream media is like, Cuomo is doing a great job. I'm like, I'm sorry. That's the worst place in the whole universe. It's worse than Italy in New York, right? And so it's like, why should we listen to anything New York does? And you had, and they forget all this. You had de Blasio working out at the gym saying, don't need to do that.
Well, how about Ruth Bader Ginsburg? The rules don't apply to her. Yeah. She goes to the Supreme Court gym, works out. So, you know, some animals more equal than others. Oh, yeah, well, thank God she's working out. Good for you.
You said J-Lo was working out.
Yeah, J-Lo's working out. The Supreme Court gym's still open, so maybe we all can go there. I mean, it's amazing what the privileged Democrats do. I mean, the rules don't apply.
No.
They don't apply.
Well, yeah, they, like you said, they apply to some of us more than others of us.
Right.
And I think that, at least, again, my hope is that President Trump will now start looking and saying, okay, you know.
He's got to wait till the curve goes. I mean, that doesn't mean permanently, but if it's still going up, they're not going to be able to.
I would say that too. If we start to get very much further along, and again, if we're wrong, and hopefully we're not wrong. I mean, hopefully in this, once again, we're right, right? If we're wrong and it does get worse, okay, then that's something. But I think we will see that in the next couple of weeks. I think, again, when you look at...
Well, the question is California going to go the same way as New York went? You know, Cuomo said New Yorkers are not unique. We say you are unique
in the
public transportation.
Well, but some of the conditions are. Yeah, the conditions
are
unique.
And the compactness and everything else. And the fact that you were inviting everybody to hug a Chinaman, you know, weeks ago. Now they're blaming Trump for not being on it early enough.
And that's the thing. And fortunately, hopefully, people are as CNN quits carrying his briefings and things like that. I think people are more able to see for themselves. So we'll see. I mean, politically, it's hard to tell how this will all fall out.
Yeah,
But again, you know, we talk to businesses all the time and they say some businesses are doing okay, but it is, as Patrick Neville pointed out, in one way, they're all connected, right? So
the contraction eventually hurts everybody, because some of your suppliers, some of your customers have customers, and, you know, we don't per se sell to the public. We mail, right? But our advertisers do, and so it affects us very much. And if it affects us, it affects the number of copies we print, and therefore it affects the publishing company that we do our printing with. And it just, you know, the whole
the whole chain
supply
thing.
Chain.
Well, and I've talked to people, and I have some relatives in the construction industry, and they said they're okay for now,
right.
And because you know most of the projects that they're working on have already been financed, and they're you know they're building them, right? But they said, but the projects that we should be selling right now, you know, for a year, because they work a year out, right? Mm-hmm. They said, we don't know what's going to happen.
Right,
and nobody's loaning money. Nobody's applying for anything.
Right.
It's, you know, I think there are a lot of implications. And again, I just, if President Trump checks our podcast, please. Yeah, I understand you got to listen to the experts, but listen, just keep in mind, you know, the whole global warming hockey stick, right? That turned out to be not true. The results of this, the data was fake. They were just, the models were based on nothing.
Well, 5 days ago, they're saying no masks are no good. You know, don't get masks and just kind of go, that can't be true. 5 days later, oh, yeah, wear a handkerchief. You go, well, no, get us a stupid mask.
You know, the other thing, too, Chuck, and 888-627-6008.
We got Iggy coming in.
Oh, we got Iggy coming in. Okay, hey, Iggy, thank you for calling. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday.
You know, yeah, comrades, how's it going?
It's okay.
We're doing great here in the greater Republic of Westminster.
Yeah, so I'm always having a tough time looking for information, for valuable news and things like that, some factual. So I actually found on Al Jazeera the other day.
Of course.
Looks like it's a very well researched and a very good timeline about the coronavirus thing.
Okay.
And it goes back, and I tried posting it to your Facebook, but it wouldn't post, I guess, the link. But it starts off with China reporting the coronavirus to the World Health Organization at the very end of December. And then it goes into where the World Health Organization, like 2 weeks after January, says, no, there's nothing here. Don't worry about it. And then it goes where the World Health Organization, toward the end of January, says, oh, we got a problem here. You know, considering the period of time that went by and how fast.
That's
it
why
went.
The vice president of Japan, or vice premier, said that we should call it the Chinese Health Organization.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think so. But, I mean, considering how fast this was, I think it's fairly remarkable what the president has done.
Yeah.
For the most
part. And then also, you didn't get it fast enough. And then when he did something on January 29th to ban travel from...
Oh, yeah, they call them racist.
Well, xenophobic was a word that Joe Biden, who's still hiding out in his cellar in Wilmington. I mean, I agree with you.
Well,
I mean, he's done it
considering... Yeah, well, considering that one of the main complaints they have against Trump is that he's an authoritarian.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, I guess they want him to be more of an authoritarian, you know. considering they didn't, and they always point to South Korea, a place of 40 million people that's about the size of California. What a great job they did. They didn't even have a test until the 7th. Of February. So, you know, you're talking about 329 million people in the United States and the largest economy in the world to automatically just, as a king, just shut it down. It can't be done.
No, no. Well, so, you know, when Tim Neville just texted us, and this is a good point, he says, you know, there are two curves, the coronavirus health curve and the economic unemployment curve.
Yeah, and one's a lot steeper than the other.
We have to review both of them together, and I think that's right. And, it, you know, you raise a good point. It's every time you turn around, these health people have changed their mind, right? And I get we're asking them to do something that's very difficult. But again, I am kind of, not kind of, I'm totally at a point, like with Tim Neville, you got to look at both of them together. And as the president said, we don't want the cure to be worse than the disease. And we're basing all of these decisions on models that so far are not coming true.
And there are many of them based on the New York metropolitan area.
Right, they're based on New York, which is an anomaly, really.
Yeah, and less.
Well, basically, I guess.
Florida still hasn't pointed drastically up. Go ahead, Iggy, I'm sorry.
Yeah, basically, I guess it comes down to that if you have a rat problem in your house, the best thing to do is to burn your house down.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
There you go. It doesn't get rid of rats.
Going further, there was a guy at Georgetown who was this, I was reading BBC, supposedly an expert, And he was going on the things that we did right and the things we did wrong. Okay.
Okay.
And basically, he goes on, and there's more things we did wrong, of course. And he's blaming Trump for a lot of different things. And then you go down further in the article, and basically, it comes down to the point where I think the biggest problem he has with Trump is that he's not a big government guy, and that he feels that just because he doesn't support big authoritarian government, that's the whole problem why we didn't solve this. So.
Yes, exactly. Well, and that is, I think, Iggy, the underlying agenda, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people with a different agendas.
We only had Elizabeth Warren on there, but it all been
that's
said.
Right. Hey, thank you.
Or the governor of California.
There you go.
Yeah. Thanks, Iggy.
Thank you. 888-627-6008. Here's another thing that kind of bugs me, is they're trying to blame this whole ventilator thing on Trump, right? Well, if you're Trump, I'm like, you're in the hospitals. None of the hospitals bothered to mention, if we have this really bad situation, we don't have enough ventilators, or the ones we have aren't in shape, or we don't have enough masks. If you're the president, and I'll give credit to, not credit, but it gives Polis some slack on this too. If you're the governor, you got a lot of stuff to worry about. And probably one of them at the top of your list is not, hey, do we have enough ventilators and masks in case of this massive emergency? I mean, you got to, where are the hospitals on this?
Three things. One, if you're placed on a ventilator, you're in bad shape. I mean, they're breathing for you, which means you're not getting the muscle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you're in a very bad shape. Mm-hmm. Two, they're incredibly complicated machines with lots of seals and plugs and everything else, and they're like a sports car. You don't run those, keep them tuned, keep them oiled, everything else. You got to do a lot of refurbishing to them, and they cost $25,000 to $50,000 a piece, the high acuity ones. And so you're not going to order 100 of these things
and have them just sitting around,
and then you're going to spend another $10,000-$15,000 refurbishing so they're ready. I mean, the fact that people didn't have those, the fact that Obama did not replenish the mass, I think, is a real problem. And if there's one thing we should stop, those last a long time. I mean, you can keep those in storage for a long time.
But Polis keeps saying, well, we've asked the federal government for ventilators and we asked them for this. It's like, well, where were you?
Yeah.
You were the governor of Colorado. Yeah. You've been around for a while.
Yeah, you could have asked.
And where are the hospitals? Again, the hospitals are clamoring like, well, you guys were the ones who know. It'd be like if I started saying, oh, it's President Trump's fault that, we don't have enough macaroni and cheese. He's like, well, you look in your pantry. You're the one who knows that, not me. So, again, they're using this, they being the Democrats and the progressives, to blame everything on Trump. And I do believe some of them are happy that the economy is being destroyed. A lot of them are continuing to make money in their jobs. They don't care that the other people, like Polis says, well, put it in.
Not one government employee, whether state, local, or federal, lose one paycheck or anything else.
For them, when he says it's not a vacation, it's a pandemic. For state employees,
it is a vacation.
And
they're all working from home. And
or not working. Well. Hey, I see Ben has popped up. Hey, Ben, good afternoon.
Hey, hi, are you guys? Listen, one of the key elements is missing in that complaint that Cuomo said that he needed 30,000 ventilators or respirators.
Ventilators.
You need 30,000 trained nurses. Nurses.
They don't work on their own. You can't just turn that baby on and leave the person there.
That's right. You need trained personnel, and he doesn't have 30,000 trained people.
So come to New York, get coronavirus, and help us out.
And I'm just going to go back. Right. I mean, I don't know, Ben, but call me crazy. But Polis said at his news conference today, we need 30,000. So far in Colorado, we have 806 people hospitalized. Now, that's a massive margin that he's trying to say that we need. I mean, maybe that'll happen, but to go from 806 people who are hospitalized now to say we need we need 30,000 ventilators. I mean, that's just I don't know. I don't understand that. Hey, listen,
looks like Michael's there, so I'm going to jump off.
Perfect. That's what we were going to say.
Thank you.
Of Zoom. Michael Tao, hey, thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you. Sorry about the difficulties. I was running by. Oh, my God, the dog's squeaking.
Is that a ventilator?
Social isolation is getting to her.
That's right. So we've got about 10, 15 minutes here. We were saying at the beginning, I was going over some of the numbers in Colorado, Michael. In an average year in Colorado, 2018, 38,451 people died. of all kinds of things. That's an average of 3,204 people per month. Okay, more than 3,200 people per month die in Colorado. Anyway, so far in Colorado in this past month, 105 have died, not from coronavirus, but with coronavirus. And there's a big difference, too, from
linked
and with.
Yes, a very big difference.
Right. What are you finding? You're a skeptic. What are you finding on the numbers?
You're good with statistics.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you look at the numbers of people dying, like, so they had headlines, one person dying an hour in New York. And, okay, that's 24 a day. I mean, it sounds really bad, but it's 24 a day. How many people are murdered? How many suicides are there? I read somewhere where there are more suicides a day in China than the numbers coming out of people dying from coronavirus.
I'm sure there is.
And the whole thing is, the thing that I just feel like I'm going insane. Like, I keep thinking someone's going to come out and say, you're on candid camera. You're being it's like some massive joke being played. So last Thursday, Dr. Fauci published an article in the New England Journal of Medicine in which he said the results of this virus, the clinical results at the end of the day of the virus, might be no worse than the seasonal, a severe seasonal flu. And then he, and with a death rate of 0.01%, which
right,
is
right.
Then he gets on TV and he gives some other number. Like, at first I thought he's trying to destroy Trump. He's trying to. Now I just think he's a psycho. I mean, yes. Seriously, now yes. I'm just kind
he's
of like.
Psycho.
He gets on TV and he says, "Well, we're going to have to do these measures forever."
Basically.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, the report. So the report that they're basing this on, the Imperial College report.
Oh yeah, right.
They explicitly say one drawback. Explicitly in there, in black and white. One drawback of this strategy is that we're not acquiring herd immunity.
Right.
So as soon as we stop, we're right back where we were.
Right.
So we knew from the beginning that this is one of these strategies that you're either in it for the long haul, or, you know, you could see you do it because you're trying to stop the hospital beds from overflowing. Once you realize it's not going to happen, you stop. But basically, if you really think there's a real worry, you're in it for the long haul. You're in it till the vaccine. And he's getting up there and he's saying, well, we're going to have to just, like, you're just going to have to, you know, he gets a paycheck, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You're not essential. You're optional.
Right.
Your life doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you make a living. Dr. Fauci's important, though, because who is going to come in and save you the next time some scientific computer model, which the authors say, who knows if it's correct, because there's a lot of it may not be true, and who also say that the procedures we're following may not work. Who's going to come in and use procedures that may not work to save us from the next threat that may never happen?
What I love about Fauci, yesterday he goes, oh yeah, everybody's talking about this hydroxychloroquine. I don't think it's any kind of great deal. You kind of go, how do you know, you old idiot? What are you supplying? What are you doing?
Well, then he said he would take it if he had coronavirus.
Take hemlock. Like, I mean, it's like, that's the other thing, is he's not like, so he was wrong about, excuse me, he's got a career of, he's a bureaucrat. He's not a scientist. He's a career bureaucrat with an MD. His career has been spent. He overhyped the AIDS epidemic, which never happened, to get like funding for AIDS. And the thing is, this is the fundamental problem we have is we're idiots, like for pause. But before that, I thought the fundamental problem is failing isn't punished in the government or in journalism.
Yes.
Not just Fauci has a history of making bad predictions. So he gets rewarded with being able to implement policies that are going to destroy the country.
Well,
like, I just can't even believe it. And again, he published an article last week saying this may not be any worse than the seasonal flu. And at that point, it just seems to me like, I don't want to say what, to me, it's like frontier justice. Is at that point, he's like seriously like messing with everybody. And he gets up there and he smiles. And I don't understand what Trump,
Trump had to, because Trump is, they recommend these two idiots, Bricks and Fauci. Then if he doesn't do what they say, they're all going to crucify him. So I think Trump says, well, I got to go along with this for a while.
And the question is,
how long?
How long, if he keeps it up and goes with Nancy Pelosi's infrastructure bill to guarantee Democratic majorities the rest of time, then he's failed. But he's not quite there yet. He's not there yet.
Yeah, we could wind up with online voting.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Then it's like over. I mean, look, there was a good chance they were going to cheat him out of the victory anyway. Like,
right.
There's like I think there was a reasonable chance, but we could wind up. That's a thing too. It's like the precedent here, what people are like submitting to and getting used to, the idea of submitting to, is crazy. And I go to the hardware store, and the guy at the counter, who I have to stand 6 feet away from, is going, it's all those people who aren't following the rules. Like he's doing that. Like those spring breakers who are like, and nobody understands. This is the thing. I'm trying to write an article on this, but it's like very hard to do it in a cogent way. So it's fun to read. Nobody understands that the only thing we're trying to accomplish is to stop a surge in cases. We are not lowering the number of people who are ultimately being infected. So all those people saying, if you're the good boys and girls who are obeying all the rules and saying, if you break the rules, you're going to come down with the illness. They're idiots, because you're going to come down with the illness anyway. That's not the point. Everybody's odds of getting the illness are probably increasing because of the lack of herd immunity. They're not decreasing. More people are going to probably get sick from it at the end of the day. All we're trying to do is stop a surge. So it's really hard to take care of people with viral pneumonia. A small percentage of cases turn into viral pneumonia. We're trying to stop the overall cases from at any given time being so large that we want enough viral pneumonia that people have to lack treatment and die. But that is not in no way supposed to stop or decrease your children.
No, if you look at the charts, they have the charts of all the flus in the last 20 years. And where the curve has been flattened, I think the swine flu was flattened. They didn't have less. They just, instead of going like this, they went like this.
Right.
And there are graphs from these researchers in Australia. So the graph they keep showing us, which I really think this was, when I look at it, it's planned the way this graph is put out. And this graph, we can, nothing, it's made up. There's graphs from these researchers in Australia, and I'm looking at it, and my mind is blown. They're not bell curves. The right side doesn't go down.
Right.
Goes straight up.
Yes.
In a line until they stop the simulation.
That means
you're not stopping the virus. Like if we let it go, we'd have the herd immunity. And look, this is another thing. So suppose 24 people dying in an hour in New York, whatever these numbers are getting. Suppose they're big numbers. A lot of these people were dying would be dead in a week or a day anyway. So as Julie said when we started, if you're putting these statistics, if you die and have the virus, it doesn't. So they did this thing where the 21-year-old soccer coach in Spain, dies of coronavirus. I'm reading this, I'm going, maybe I'm wrong. Like, it's one case, but here's a week later, I finally dig up he had leukemia.
That's
what he died of. Like, to say he died of coronavirus is very deceptive. So a lot of these people were dead in a week anyway. I mean, it sounds callous, but they were. A lot of them within a couple of months would have been, and a lot of them didn't die, aren't really dying of the virus. Like, to me, this is like, I said in my earlier article on this, like, getting hit with a disease that kills some sick and old people, it's bad, but it's a human thing that happens over and over again. Societies aren't even fazed by it. Like a year later, everybody's back to normal. But shutting down the entire economy and socially isolating people so that they don't even have the consolation of human companionship is not a normal human thing.
How are you doing personally?
I'm actually so severely autistic. I never see human beings anyway. So to me, it's weird that I'm the one who's so upset about it. Because to me, I don't even notice.
We just have a couple of minutes left, but you have a good point. And that my concern is, and I hope Trump does not fall for it. And that's why we want to do shows like this. And the more that people speak up, because you're right, flattening the curve just extends it. And so I think the Democrats want to extend it through November.
Till we get to 1933.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
And then there'll be the new flu coming up. Right. And so I think people got to get their common sense and some combination, as Tim Neville said, of looking at the economic curve and the coronavirus curve. And there has to be a balancing there because, again, like you said, it's sad to say, and we're not being mean to say it, but in Colorado, 3,200 people die a month anyway, roughly 2,000 of them people 75 plus anyway. Without
but
coronavirus,
it doesn't even matter if we stop. Suppose we stop tomorrow and we don't we put off, like, so the Great Depression was only like about 10% decline in growth for 3 years, right? We're easily looking at something like that. And 25% unemployment at the max. They're already projecting 30% unemployment for us, like, in this quarter. So even if we stop now and we don't have any of that, this is now a yearly event. This is now because Obama was president, we didn't do this, right? We didn't, like, follow CDC things where it says, like, CDC says, no really reason to believe this is going to work. I mean, this is a great thing. If you look at it, the experts are saying there's actually not a strong reason to believe any of this is going to work or the disaster is going to happen. The economic disaster is certain. And it's just kind of like, I don't want to be on this planet. You people are nuts. You're so nuts, I can't even know. But this is now a potential yearly event. And in Virginia, my governor, where we've had like 1,000 cases, we're locked down until June 10th. It's clear to me this guy just, why do dogs lick themselves? Because they can. That's why that's why he wants to do this. So now it's like, whether it's Trump to get Trump or because we have a Democratic president who just wants to do it. Now it's like, if people just like roll over for this and don't say, no, screw you, Fauci, screw all you. We're not just going to like submit to this. This is a yearly event. And I must say, the more I think about this, this goes back to like huge kind of like the whole anti-smoking campaign where the government
was
shoving stuff in your face. I'm sorry. Like, I had a problem with cigarettes. It took me a long time to quit. I still think it was a total bad thing to submit to government saying,
I agree.
We're not just here to stop you from foreign invaders and thieves. We're here to protect you from yourself. Yes. That's what we're here to do, because you suck. Yes. You don't have any ability to make decisions for yourself, and we're here, and you don't matter anyway. If we mess up, you're inessential. We're inessential. So just shut up and put up with it.
Whoa, Michael, we got to stop you.
The minute we put up with that, with the smoke, don't pollute, like all of this like stuff that it's none of your damn business, government. That was, I think, to me, a...
Michael, you need to give your dog a hug. You need to give your dog a hug.
You are great. Listen.
I beat the dog, actually.
No. He does not. We got to let you go. You've been great.
Okay. Thanks.
Good to see you, Michael.
Always. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much there. Hey, that will do it for the Chuck and Julie show on this Friday. I want to let people know it will be posted up on YouTube. Go to chuckandjulie.com. Please go ahead and subscribe so we can bring you more. Who knows how long we're all going to be socially isolated and this whole kind of thing. So, hopefully, but we could use all the subscriptions we could get on YouTube. The show brought to you by ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
Got to check them out.
Thank you to Michael. Thank you to Patrick. Thank you to the callers. Thank you to the great guys at BBS.
We want to thank everybody, and we'll be back on Monday for another exciting episode.